Good evening. I would like to call tonight's Kendall County Board adjourned September meeting for February 6, 2018 at 6 p.m. to order. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Kulik?
Here.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
She will not be here.
Mr. Giles?
Here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Grader?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. With a quorum being present, I may have a motion to approve last month's minutes if there are no additions or corrections.
Second.
Motion by Kulik, seconded by Prochaska. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Otherwise, may I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Kulik. Discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Correspondence and communications, County Clerk.
I don't have anything.
Thank you. Is there any special recognition? Citizens to be heard. Executive session? Old business. New business. May I have a motion to approve the farm lease agreement number 18-01-003 Fox River Bluffs property?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Prochaska. Any discussion on this? Mr. Purcell.
This goes with the one we approved at Forest Reserve, correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Thank you. Standing committee reports, finance, Ms. Kulik.
I'd like to make a motion to approve claims in an amount not to exceed $1,266,458.28.
Second.
Motion by Kulik, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Thank you. Under the next item, Mr. Purcell has recused himself from this discussion, and under our board rules of order, shall be treated as though he is not present.
I would like to make a motion to approve coroner claims in an amount not to exceed $3,620.52.
Second.
Motion by Kulik, seconded by Kellogg. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Thank you. Admin HR, Ms. Kulik.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the network administrator job description.
Motion by Kulik.
Second.
Seconded by Gilmore. Is there any discussion?
We went through this job description at administration HR committee, and this is the position that we have posted currently. It's posted at this point. No, not yet.
It's currently filled by Daryl Collins. We're just catching up on getting all the IT job descriptions up today.
Okay. Yep. Sorry.
Is this the position?
We did not meet last night, so I'm very confused.
Thank you.
We didn't?
Is this the position that was Scott Keppel's?
Yeah. No.
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 No. No. This has been Daryl's position.
Oh,
okay. So we're just updating we're going through the job descriptions and updating them.
Thank you.
This is for somebody who actually does the work, the technology.
Ah.
Correct. Not the management of the staff.
Any further discussion on this item? Roll call, please.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to approve approval of the replacement and extension of the AT&T dedicated fiber internet contract through February 6, 2020, formerly May 10, 2019, with a cost of $944.05 per month. And I am going to let Mr. Keppel talk about this, but it is a money saving.
Second. Motion by Kulik, seconded by Kellogg. And Mr. Keppel.
The price is going down from a little over $1,000, and the speed is tripling as part of the new contract, and we have to extend it out a little ways. We did an initial three-year contract when we first signed up with AT&T. This would be a two-year extension from today, not a two-year extension on the end of the contract. So cheaper price, more speed, There's a question on HR admin last month. I didn't get to answer it last night from Member Purcell. The price to opt out is 50% of the monthly cost.
Thank you.
Mr. Purcell.
Mr. Keppel, I had a member of the public reach out to me today regarding this issue, but I was not in a position. A person called me at my work, and I was unfortunately not in a position to discuss it. Have you had anyone reach out to you recently and voice some concerns with this project?
So there was a member of the public that reached out and actually talked to Gina Hauge. She updated me on it later in the afternoon on what happened. I think it may have been misrepresented that this was a contract for a 20 meg the speed. It's actually for 150 megabyte, and at that price it is very, very competitive and quite cheaper than everywhere else that we've looked and we've gone out for quotes.
So the concern she had, just maybe the person didn't have all the facts?
If it's the same person, then okay.
It was today, and I said, I'm not in a position to talk. If you come to the meeting, I'll be glad to talk to you. I don't see anyone here who called me today.
The concern.
Well, I was going to say,
I wasn't looking at you. You don't know about this either.
Ms. Okay, Hendricks.
Thank you.
And then just quickly, because I know there's been a bit of a kerfuffle in the news about this. Everyone, dilly-dilly.
Dilly-dilly.
Kerfuffle.
Are you monitoring the speeds and ensuring that we're actually getting what we're paying for?
So on the cable modem, there's no guaranteed speed. On the fiber connection, we do monitor to the best of our ability. We don't always use the speed to capacity, but we monitor the use, and if there are issues, our equipment is capable of notifying us, and then we can go back to them, and we're supposed to get, I believe it's 5.9, so 99.999% uptime, and then when it's not up, we get reports, and then we can get money back on our bill. Hasn't happened yet. AT&T's been excellent in their service so far.
Thank you.
Mr. Davidson.
Scott, can we normally get a longer contract, 2 year or 3 year?
We initially had to sign a 3 year. Comcast always wants to do a 5, but there was some concerns from the committee about MetroNet coming in and competition, and the prices have gone down somewhat in fiber, so I didn't feel, and the committee agreed, that it was great to lock the county up for a long period of time.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is we're wasting a lot of time with the same contracts year after year. I mean, at least get a 2 year or 3 year and be, you know, stretching out a little bit.
This is two.
We spend all man hours.
Yeah, this one is two.
This is two?
Yeah, this one is. I think he was thinking exactly like you, Bob. Scott thought, you know, that's a great idea. So.
This is through
2020.
February 6, 2020.
Can't encumber future boards.
Well, I'm just saying two-year contract and keep it that way. That's my question. I'm sorry I went it wrong.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments, questions, kerfuffles? Roll call, please.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Facilities, Mr. Davidson?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to approve a 48-month contract extension with CenterPoint Energy for our natural gas for Kendall County facilities in the amount not to exceed 33.5 cents per therm.
Second.
Motion by Davidson, seconded by Kellogg. Any discussion?
John?
Just how does this compare with what we
Mr.
have
Mr. Purcell?
Now? Thank you.
It's
Mr. Smiley?
It's slightly lower.
What we have now?
Yes.
That's freaking awesome.
Wow. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Awesome, yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to approve a 1 year contract with Call One for their Syntex phone circuits in the amount of $9 per month base price plus usage.
Second.
Motion by Davidson, seconded by Hendricks. And can you or Jim explain this one?
Thank you.
It's basically the same, and we're just renewing it up to, we're there.
Mr. Kellogg?
It's up 5%.
Mr. Smiley?
I said basically.
There should be a summary sheet included in your packet of the public bid that we held on this. It shows it being about $300 a month more for the base price. But they are looking at that, and I believe that's going to come down, and it'll either be about the same or slightly less. We have two to three other contracts we have to sign for our T1 services and for our point-to-point services, and those are expected to go down. So I expect that number to be about the same or less than what it has been. This is the customer service portion, and it also includes those Centrex analog lines that we still have for certain things.
Mr. Purcell?
How does the one we just voted on with AT&T impact this? I mean, they're both phone services.
One is data, and this is for our actual phone circuits that we talk over.
Okay. Or, but you think when we're all done, the price will be about the same as we're paying now?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Thank you. Both of those motions carry unanimously. Under Facilities, Economic Development, Ms. Hendricks.
I initially wanted this to go to COW so we could discuss it in detail, but what is in front of us now is the need to authorize the Kendall County State's Attorney to initiate a collection on the $32,500 note executed by Michael Manfrey, James Manfrey, and Priscilla Liberatore, and secured by a mortgage on 119 Hamlet Circle in Montgomery, Illinois.
Motion. Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
Motion by Hendricks.
Second.
Seconded by Kellogg. Discussion. Mr. Davidson.
Where is this money supposed to come? This person went bankrupt and has fallen out of the, you know, as Dad always said, you can't get blood out of a turnip. So I don't know where we're going to come up with the money, or is there money beside someplace?
Against my specific recommendation to this applicant who acquired a loan through the Economic Development Department, used their home and vehicles to collateralize the loan, which I specifically warned them against doing.
Thank you, Jim.
They felt comfortable in doing that. This is not the entire value of their home, of course. It would be a very small, not very small, but a small portion of the total value of their home. We have made several attempts to contact them. They have not reached out to us, and they have not responded, so we haven't even been able to try to negotiate something different with them. And per the terms of the contract, this is now the next step that takes place. It's not a happy event, but when your borrower won't respond to you, they don't leave you much choice.
Fresh memory, when was this granted?
This was for Lucky Dogs, and we voted on that last year as a board.
It's less than a year?
Yeah. It's less than a year. It's one, I mean, of all the economic development loans that we've given, we don't see this default, so this is honestly a rare incident, and I'm not happy personally to be bringing this before the board, but we've more or less been pushed into this position because of borrowers' failure to respond to us.
I'd like to have Leslie explain our options under this, and then I can get to the rest of the, unless you have a quick, question. Okay.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I did want to bring up. They have failed to make multiple monthly payments. Under the terms of your promissory note, the board can elect to go after just the amounts that are past due and owing. Or the other option under your promissory note is to go after the entire, we can request the full amount of the unpaid principal plus interest for payment to be made on that first. Our recommendation would be to request the entire unpaid principal and the interest. In order to do that, we would have to send them a note. We would ask or send them a letter. We would have probably the county board chair do that first, to send a notice to the borrowers telling them that they are past due and that we're calling in the entire note. that's due in owing, we would give them a period of 30 days to make payment of that before we would pursue the actual litigation against them.
Mr. Kellogg, I'm sorry, wait, hang on. I had, actually, Judy.
No, that was my question. I just wanted to ask.
Did we send them a notification? Because part of the document said that upon closing the business, their note was due in full, or was there any communication of that, or?
That, sending that notification, what Leslie just spoke about, would be saying that it's due in full.
Okay.
Mr. Purcell.
What attempts have we made to communicate with these folks to collect monies or to say what's going on?
Andres has made phone calls and emails to them, and we've got back one response that was the day of the Economic Development Committee meeting that said, next week I will provide you my plan, and we have heard nothing since then. We informed them that this, well ahead of the meeting, well ahead of the 48-hour notice for this meeting, that this was going to be on the agenda, was also sent to them. We've made every effort that we could to contact them. They, in the past, were very good about replying to emails.
When was the EDC meeting?
I have to check the calendar.
The 16th, 15th, or 16th?
It was a couple weeks.
It was the 19th? January 19th?
Somewhere January 19th.
Mr. Kellogg?
Could you clarify, though, that they made one payment on time out of all of them, or?
Yes.
It wasn't a full payment, though.
And it was a little bit short.
It was short, and they were also refunded part of the closing costs back, and instead of it being applied to the note, it was written as a check back to them per the treasurer's recommendation. Was that?
That was the recommendation, because it was at the time, I believe, they didn't owe that much. I think they had like one payment that was due, and the amount back was higher than that one payment. I believe that was the case, and they thought it would be easier to give it back to them and then just have them write out the amount for the next payment. So we went that direction.
And the payment was roughly $500 a month? It was not a...
It's $436 or something,
was it?
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little under $500 a month.
So it wasn't an enormous...
No, it's not an enormous amount.
Thank you.
Well, the total loan is about $32,500, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. It's a small loan compared to the other loans we've done for other businesses here, and I'm disappointed, but you do lose some once in a while, and this apparently seems to be the case.
Mr. Kellogg, then Mr. Davidson?
They did ask for more, and we denied
them. And we denied them, yes.
I think they were wanting $40,000 at one point, and we said no, moved it back down, so...
Mr. Davidson?
There's a motion on the floor of what?
The motion is to authorize the Kendall County State's Attorney to initiate collection on the $32,500 note.
That's the full amount.
That's the full amount, and that would be our recommendation. If you're going to pursue collections, that we would send that letter first, and then if there is no payment made, or you guys tell us to delay proceeding with the actual litigation, then we would proceed with litigation.
Mm-hmm. I call the question.
I've got one more.
Yes, Mr. I was Geller. Just wondering, so Audra, maybe you can answer this. Since you've been chairman, what other loans have been given, if any?
We haven't issued any other loans. We've been working on loaning to municipalities and getting that planning together. We haven't had any other applicants come in. Mm-hmm. It's a little difficult for applicants right now. Which was also one of the motives for trying to get us the ability to loan to municipalities, because when they go through this loan process, their financial information becomes public record. So,
but this is the only one since you've been chairman.
This is the only one since I've been chairman, yes.
Thank you.
But we haven't had any other applicants that have wanted to apply, either that weren't developers. Mm-hmm. So,
roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Aye.
Mr. Purcell?
Present.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Thank you. And so, will just for clarification, will you draft that letter, or does Scott, should we, I work with Scott to get that drafted?
We will be happy to prepare that letter.
We all work together.
For the chairman's signature.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the standing committee minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Davidson. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Special committee reports, KenCom Executive Board, Ms. Gilmore.
The next meeting is February 22nd.
Okay. Housing Authority, Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, the next meeting of the Kendall County Housing Authority will be on February 23rd at 8 a.m. in the Health and Human Services Boardroom. At that meeting, we will be voting on our CMAP score submission to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Currently, we are anticipating being a high-performing housing authority again. Also, the Housing Choice, for the first time since 2007, on March 1st, the Kendall County Housing Authority will be opening its wait list to new applicants. Registration to get on the wait list has opened on February the 5th. And if anybody wants to take a look at the process or what everybody has to go through, you can go to www.kendallhousing.org. We weight everybody's application on a point system, 2 points for being a resident, 1 point if they have a job, 1 point if they're in the middle of involuntary displacement, 1 point if they're a family with a minor, 1 point if they're a veteran, and 2 points if they're homeless or soon to be homeless.
How many slots are there currently for Kendall County?
Kendall County currently has 160 vouchers allocated to it. The current wait list will be, as soon as we have vouchers open up, they will be pulling from the new wait list. We've exhausted the current one.
So they'll be on the wait list?
Yes.
And how long does that usually take?
The last time this wait list was open was 2007, and we finally just exhausted it.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Hendricks?
In the interim, while somebody's on the wait list, what happens?
Depends on their personal, depends on case by case on the situation. Largely, we're trying to get people through the wait list, but that's not something we've traditionally handled at the Kendall Housing Authority. We're just strictly a housing choice voucher program. We don't have any project facilities.
I understand you're administratively processing that and everything, but there's a couple of homeless veterans that I've come to know. They're pleased to know that the wait list has opened up again, but the dilemma becomes, as I'm sure you're all aware, but I'm going to say anyway, the dilemma becomes, great, you're on the wait list, but now you wait for housing to come open and for you to be picked, and that can take, as we now saw, years and years and years.
What is the process for determining the number that we have allocated to the county?
That number was set by HUD in the 80s, and it has not changed.
It hasn't changed, even though our population is now
that
about eight times what it was then?
Yeah, that number has not changed. We've asked for more vouchers. However, that is dependent on congressional funding. We are currently trying to see if there's other programs that we can get vouchers for, such as a VASH voucher, which is for homeless veterans. But again, that's administered by HUD, and that's dependent on funding and if they are willing to send some out this far. Kendall County is not exactly HUD's ideal county to have vouchers in because of the much higher cost of living and rental rates here. They would rather keep it closer to Cook and the Collars.
Ms. Hendricks.
And how many housing units available for vouchers do we have in Kendall County?
I do not know that information off the top of my head. However, any landlord can accept a Kendall County voucher if they choose to.
They have a choice?
They have a choice.
They do have a choice, yes.
Mr. Davidson.
How many years have we gone asking for additional spaces?
Since I've been on that commission, which would have been 2011. I've been asking
for. Were we asking for more prior to that, too?
I believe so.
Mr. Purcell.
I have a couple questions, and Matt, maybe you answered these and I missed them. Is there any type of criminal background check done on the people who
yes.
are going to receive vouchers? Or?
Yes. If you are, I do not have the exact list, but there are certain crimes if you have committed, you do not receive a voucher under any.
Have I committed a crime?
They check the board. Check you're committed
if you commit a crime, if there are certain crimes that if they're committed, you cannot get a voucher, including drug crimes.
Okay, thank you. And then Years ago, the vouchers were portable. Is that still the case?
They are portable. We have five of our vouchers are what we call port outs, taken to other housing authorities.
I remember Jesse spoke of that. One was in Puerto Rico for a long time.
The bulk of our port outs are to Aurora, DuPage, or Joliet. We do have, however, over, at last count, about 180 port-ins, vouchers that have come from other housing authorities to us that we administer. We do not get to keep those vouchers once they expire. But we've had vouchers from Plano, Texas, Puerto Rico, just about every.
How do you administer something in Puerto Rico?
We send notice to the Housing and Urban Development that this voucher is now in Kendall County, and they send us that county's allocation of the funds.
So we don't have to fly down there?
No.
I don't think you can still get there yet. No meals or anything.
Ms. Hendricks?
And I think the portability is a good idea. If you're waiting 7 years to get housing and then you finally get it, it seems to me that you should be able to get it wherever you've ended up having to be because you were homeless and needed housing and not where you had to go.
That's astounding, 11 years that somebody had to wait. They had to figure out somewhere to go.
We got to do better.
And the preference points that I listed are selected by the board,
as a country,
but they also
yes.
have to be approved by HUD. When the list was last open, we gave 10 points for a Kendall County resident, or if they were working, and HUD told us that was unfair to people not from Kendall County, and because of the racial background, potentially discriminatory.
Mr. Davidson, did you have another comment? Anyone else? Thank you. That was an interesting discussion. Chairman's report. One of the things that sometimes is lost when you have long-serving board members is historical perspective. And I learned before this meeting that just before this meeting, there's been a lot of discussion about Route 47 widening north of Yorkville to Sugar Grove. And so I wanted to just briefly address that with everybody. And many of you that were on the board a few years ago recall that there was funding that ended up going to the southern portion of Route 47 as it travels through Kendall County, and this board voted or approved a resolution suggesting that IDOT allocate those funds to the northern part, which led to the nickname for Matthew Prochaska as Google, because he was able to pull up the traffic counts during our meeting and showed that there's about 20,000 cars going north and 6,000 going south. At that time, other municipalities followed suit, or perhaps we followed suit. I don't remember who was first, but Yorkville, Sugar Grove, Kane County, possibly others, but at least those groups also said, you know what, we need funding. This is a bottleneck and, you know, potentially very dangerous situation as well, if anybody that has traveled that knows that. And it also results in a lot of traffic being pushed to other roadways that aren't necessarily built for you know, the high traffic volume. So recently an alderman from Yorkville kind of brought this up once again, and I'm glad that he did. For the last week or so, I've been in contact with him and working to try to get a meeting together with some of the stakeholders that can help, you know, get this moving. What I learned before this meeting, however, though, was that in light of our resolutions from a few years ago, this is on IDOT's radar, and it wasn't, last I knew, in the five-year plan, but my understanding is that phase two is going to begin in August for this. And Scott, I don't know if you want to add anything to this. I know you had some conversation as well.
Yeah, from everything that I've been told, when I've been looking around into it recently, they have scheduled to do the environmental study. I know that spoke a little earlier about that, with having to do with bridges. That's supposed to happen in June, July. And then that the phase two is supposed to start right around August, hopefully. Again, until these things actually happen, you know, this is the planning and where it's at. And then that would be the next part of the process, then land acquisition, of course, and the planning and engineering that takes quite a bit of time. So it is still moving, but it is an IDOT project, so it's not.
It's not going to happen overnight, but
it
is in process, and I still want to get the meeting together just to make sure that everyone understands that it is a priority you know, to our county and to the city of Yorkville, I know, as well. But it is moving. it's moving at IDOT speed, but it is moving. So I wanted to pass that along. Is there any need for executive session? Mr. Keppel.
If you could address one thing in the chairman's report, sure. The JRB upcoming for Yorkville TIF 2 and direction.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. We don't have the Economic Development Committee. I emailed out to the entire board the public notice from the city of Yorkville about the JRB for the upcoming TIF 2. It is on.
That's Joint Review Board.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Joint Review Board for the TIF 2. It's on February 13th at 4 p.m. And whether myself or Andres attends, we were hoping for a consensus or some input from the board on how we should vote in for Kendall County.
Can I take I'll a consensus? Offer my thoughts.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you can give your thoughts, but I think giving a consensus is more of like voting.
Okay.
It's not on the agenda.
Right. Mr. Purcell, if you have some thoughts.
I have thoughts. So, first of all, for a new TIF district, we can object. And Yorkville can still pass it. Maybe they need a higher percentage vote. I don't know. But I've been opposed to all TIFs, and I will continue to be opposed to all TIFs. So that's my thought. Or
Thank
thoughts.
You.
Those are my thoughts.
Are there any other thoughts on that? Okay, thank you. Mr. Davidson.
Have they changed the dates on their proposal? Are they still going to, what was it, 2042
or something?
I don't know the status of TIF 1. Bob, that was the one that was going to get extended out then. The new TIF, I'd have to look through, but it would be a brand new TIF, which would extend out. I'd have to look into the details of it, but it'd be a brand new one, so it would go for quite a while as well.
How do these vote or even tell him what if we don't have all the information? If
when
it's changed or anything?
It's February 13th. Where's that, Scott? February 13th. What time and place?
At 4 p.m. At United City of Yorkville. I'm sorry. I emailed it all out. I should have probably communicated better the information to everyone. I can.
Didn't we discuss and take consensus when we were talking about TIF 1 and 2 at that was my recollection, but
we did.
Did we?
Okay, maybe I missed that. I'm sorry. I just wanted to bring it up again because it was fresh.
Was anyone in favor of supporting a new TIF?
We can't vote on that.
No, but I can ask a question.
If you have some thoughts, you can provide your thoughts on it. Mr. Davidson?
Well, here's my point. Last I knew, their TIF runs to 2024, the existing TIF. Isn't that stretching it out far enough for anyone yet? I mean,
well, this
I
is for
see
a,
it if it was...
This is for a new TIF.
For another 20
I'm
years.
Saying the old TIF is still there.
Correct.
And the new TIF is just extending everything another, what would it be?
It's additional properties.
Pardon?
Additional properties. In fact, some of it's
that's okay, sir.
I understand.
Yeah,
but
it's
still,
23 years.
It's extending everything out.
It's a new area, so it
he's
will extend out.
He's talking time, I think.
Right.
I think he's talking time. Yes, it will start a brand new TIF, which will start the clock of a brand
out.
New 23
not
years.
Everybody.
And now we're taking. You know, your taxes are froze, except with all the new money goes to Yorkville.
That's correct.
How far do you want to take and handicap the boards behind us?
And all the taxes.
I mean,
districts.
Right now you're looking at another, 16 years? Am I right, 24?
No, this is the brand new one, so it'll be 23 years. There's the two, they have two TIFs that they came and spoke to us about. The first one was to extend the existing TIF, which would be another 16 years.
Right.
Now, the one that is going to be the hearing next week is a brand new TIF, which is the residences.
So the tomato is green, not red. It's
yes.
Still the same. What are you talking?
No, it's going to be longer.
You're not talking.
It's going to be another 7 years beyond what you're thinking.
It's
well,
a new one.
It's still extending the taxes out. Taken away from future boards.
That's right. That true. That is
let
true.
It get closer and let the future boards vote on it. We shouldn't be the ones making that decision for somebody coming up behind us in the next 10 years, 8 years, 12 years?
We have a right to sit at the table.
Well, since the TIF runs 23 years, there would be a significant number of boards that would be touched by the decision if it were made
today.
Well,
our state's attorney tells us we can't do that to boards behind us for 4 years, so, you know, we're going to extend it out beyond that. I don't know.
Well, I've heard anyone speak in favor of it, so I would take that as direction, Mr. Keppel.
Any need for executive session?
Yes.
Oh, we do.
Review
executive session minutes.
I know, strike me down.
Review executive session minutes.
I move we postpone that.
Two.
Two.
We'd like to see how many you want
to
make it. Oh my gosh, look at that stick.
You know, it only takes 5 minutes to go in there. Briefly look at them.
Be halfway done by then.
For the purpose of.
Number 21, the discussion of minutes and meetings lawfully closed under this act, whether for purposes of approval by the body of the minutes or semi-annual review of the minutes is mandated by section 2.06.
Is there a motion? Who made, are you making a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Purcell, seconded by Prochaska. Roll call.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
No.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
No.
Oh. Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
No.
Mr. Kellogg?
No.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Thank you.
Was it five?
5-4.
Kulik vote?
I did vote.
That
five
was to four. The assortment of voters.
Yeah. 5-4, the ayes have it. We will go into executive session.
You.
Back in regular session, motion made by Kellogg, seconded by Prochaska to adjourn. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. We are adjourned.
They said the school.